Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Audio bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by Winamp for Android, the ultimate media player for your desktop and Android device, featuring wireless sync. Download it free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 181, recorded December 14th, 2010. Media Fly. Net at Night is brought to you by JVL Moby Games, featuring Gone Ice Fishing, their latest game for the iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad. Check out Gone Ice Fishing in the iTunes App Store today, and visit JVL's website for more games and contests too at jvl.mobi. And by Ford and Voice Activated Sync, featuring true hands-free calling, turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, and more. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off the lifetime of your new account, go to squarespace.com/night and use the offer code NIGHT. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California, US of A. I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from snowy Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Is it snowing?
It is snowing. You know, we haven't had much snow, Leo. It's been very cold, but it is snowing a lot right now. And I don't know if you heard the story about 300 motorists who are currently stuck on a highway just west of Toronto, but they've been stuck for, I think, 14 hours, maybe more than that. Really scary situation. So the areas around Toronto have been hit pretty hard by snow so far this year.
Wow. Wow. Well, I hope you stay warm and dry inside where you are. And by the way, if you're watching on video, you might notice it's just looking gorgeous. There. What did you do?
Well, I have to thank your team for this because I have a new microphone from you guys. So hopefully the audio is better than my cheap Logitech headset that I think you bought me maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah, it was a bad time.
You know, it's done well for me, but it was definitely time to move on. And Chris built me a little set here in my basement. And also I'm using his broadcast camera to output video.
Oh,
so
man.
I think we're getting
good.
Close to getting it right, Leo. It's been a rough road.
Yeah, it looks spectacular.
Yeah, so really excited to have the mic, you know, just kind of figuring out how to work it like you do, Leo.
You sound good. You sound good. Okay. So today we are going to be talking with an old friend, Carson Conant, who is with MediaFly. It's about time we actually got Carson on because they've really made it possible for you to listen to our shows, even watch our shows, and in some cases watch our shows live on all sorts of platforms, including TVs with Yahoo Widgets and Popcorn Hour, the Roku Box, Android, iPhone. It's MediaFly. It's just amazing. So we're going to get Carson on and talk a little bit about what MediaFly is and does.
Great. Yeah. And there is a ton of tech news to talk about this week. But just quickly, Leo, I have to know, was Lil Web good?
Yeah, well, what could be bad about Paris, which where it snowed, by the way?
I know.
It was really fun. I had a blast. And Loic Lemur, who does Lil Web with his wife, Geraldine. You know, when they first did it, you know, Loic is seismic.com. And
yeah, of
course. I use their desktop application for tweeting. I really like it. They originally, remember, he started the company. There's an example of a company that had a second chapter. His first chapter, they were doing video blog comments, I think, was kind of the idea, or little short videos, kind of like 12 seconds, which has also gone away.
Yeah.
And he decided, no, maybe there's a better business doing, at first, I think, air clients for Twitter. And now his Seismic desktop, you know, is amazing. I think he's got a Windows version that uses WPF. Still has an Air version, has a web-based version, and it supports Facebook and all the other social networks. It's really a great social network dashboard. So Loic puts this on with Geraldine. They started with like 200 people, I think, 8 years ago. Now it's a big deal. There were 3,500 entrepreneurs from all over Europe. And what he does is he brings entrepreneurs from California mostly, or the U.S. in general, but a lot of them from San Francisco, to kind of meet European entrepreneurs and talk about, you know, tech startups and so forth. It's really great. really was a lot of fun.
Leo, I don't know if there was a whole lot of business happening over there because all I saw were food tweets.
Well, there's a lot of eating, but you're
a lot of eating.
You're in Paris for crying out loud. You got to eat. But yeah, no, but you're right. There was a lot of eating, but there was also a lot of business getting done. It was I met some really interesting people. Dennis Crowley of Foursquare. I got to interview him. Brent Hoberman, who is a very well-known English entrepreneur. So I had fun. And, you know, Kevin was supposed to be there. Kevin Rose didn't go. But, gosh, so many people I know were there, including Sarah Lane, who does iPad Today with her friend MG Siegler, who writes for TechCrunch. Mike Arrington and I had a little – I went in the speaker's lounge, and Mike is lounging on a – the speaker's lounge had some chairs. It was very French. They had some weird, very modern chairs. But they also had like a pile of mattresses and cushions and beanbag. You could kind of lounge. And I go in there, and there's Mike Arrington lounging, lying down. He'd taken off his shoes in state and talking. You know, he has his people surrounding him because, of course, he's the most.
Were they fanning him? Because I have a real great visual image right now.
Feeding him grapes. Well, you know, he's so powerful in the startup thing.
Of course.
And so it was like the king in his court. And I walk in, and he says, "What is it with you, Leo? Would you make up your mind? Do you love me or do you hate me?"
So we, oh my goodness.
That was fun. We had a very nice conversation.
Okay.
I shook his hand, remembering after the fact that he doesn't want to shake hands because it spreads germs, but what the hell.
So
he was promoting touching elbows for a while. And I think subconsciously I know that because every time I see him, I like reach to shake his hand.
And he moves backwards?
No, he shakes my hand.
Oh, he does. Okay,
to his credit, he doesn't recoil. In revulsion, he shakes
that's
my
hand. Hilarious.
But it was fun. Now, we do have a lot of tech news. I'm not going to belabor this.
So much, yeah.
Before we
I'm
get
sure
to it, can I do a commercial,
yeah, yeah.
though? Because
we
have a new sponsor, and I think you know who they are.
I sure do. Yeah, JVL Mobi.
Tell me a little bit about them, because I know some of their games. In fact, I'm downloading right now their new Gone Ice Fishing, which is so appropriate for Canada.
It is so appropriate in this snowy weather. Well, JVL Mobi makes a ton of different mobile applications, you know, both for the iPhone as well as the iPad. And they're really just quick little games that you can play, whether you're waiting at a bus stop or, you know, you're sitting at home and you have some time to kill. And they're a lot of fun. I mean, they definitely are sort of in the category of Angry Birds. Gone Ice Fishing, the one you're about to download. I actually have it here and I was playing it before the show. A super fun game that it's kind of like Whack-A-Mole, Leo, which I know you're familiar
mm-hmm.
with. But the idea of this particular game is that all of these little fish pop up and then you have to hit the fish as they pop up and not hit the polar bears and not hit the divers as well. And then
it's kind of like Fruit Ninja.
Yeah, 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 a little bit like that. So, you know, you have to get some, you have to get pretty fast with this. Obviously, doing it backwards is not that easy, but it's super fun and addictive. Again, kind of like Angry Birds. So they have a bunch of other games and my company, just as sort of a disclaimer, we're working with them to get them set up in the social media world because while they've been developing all of these great games, they haven't really been interacting with their audience online and they know they have tons of fans out there. So we got them set up on Twitter under JVL Mobi, on Facebook as well. Under JVL Mobi, and they're doing great giveaways. We're giving away iPads, iPods, and so a great opportunity for people to kind of get in touch and learn more about them, but also try some of their games out. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
That's neat. Are they Canadian?
They are Canadian, so they're based in Canada, and I think they have developers all over the world, and they definitely are a global company. So they have, you know, their downloads. I mean, they've definitely surpassed millions of downloads
wow.
with their multiple games. Like another one is What's the Difference, which is kind of a fun game where you essentially take two photos and you find what's different in the photos. You know, that's a very traditional game. But again, you know, they're great. They're easy to consume. And I've never been a gamer. I mean, Leo, you know this, because I feel as though it takes a lot of effort to learn how a lot of video games to get caught up to get up to date on how you actually play them and interact and all of the different idiosyncrasies. But with games like this, it's so easy to pick them up. You know, I picked up Gone Ice Fishing and within 30 seconds, you know how to play. And that is my type of game, let me tell you. I love it.
You go to jvl.mobi to find out more about them and their games. What's the Difference? Double Quiz, Gone Ice Fishing, Underwater Mess. Seems like these would be fun for kids too. And,
yeah, there's a lot of fun games for kids, too.
Yeah, yeah. You could find out more at jvl.mobi, but of course they're on the iPhone and the iPad, and you'll find them in the iTunes store as well.
Yeah, and definitely follow them on Twitter under JBL Moby. And again, it's a chance to get entered in all of their contests. They have sort of weekly and monthly contests for giveaways. So all you have to do is really follow them or add them as a friend on Facebook.
I'm downloading Gone Ice Fishing right now.
Okay, you're going to be playing while we're talking, Leo. I know it.
I like that.
I know. I like it too.
I like your tweet. I love my job.
I know. It's such a great job. I'm thinking, like, literally, Chris, don't bother me. I have to play Gone Ice Fishing before the show starts.
I'm trying to do my job.
Isn't it? Those are the glory moments, right? Have to love them.
Did you love this story about Gawker? Now, there's good and there's bad. First of all, Gawker got hacked, right? All the Gawker sites.
Yeah, Gawker got hacked. So a group went in and essentially made public, I think, a couple of 100,000 emails and passwords of people who use the many different Gawker sites to log in and leave comments, everything from Lifehacker. You know, there's a bunch of different sites that they do. It's been a huge story and a huge issue for them. And I've kind of been following it. And the most interesting thing I saw was some of the most common passwords that people are using on Gawker. And I think of that audience is somewhat tech savvy.
Well, it's Lifehacker. Gizmodo.
Gizmodo.
Yeah.
I know. And then I looked at the Wall Street Journal article where they talked about the most popular Gawker passwords. You know, number one is 123456. Number two is password. Number three is 123456789. And the list of stupidity goes on.
It's amazing. QWERTY, ABC123, the ever popular 111111. Monkey. Is in
Monkey.
There.
Leo, zero. That was like number 10
zero.
Or 11.
Let
zero.
Me in. Trust no one. That's a good password. No one will guess. Superman, baseball, I love you, sunshine, princess, Star Wars, and the ever popular cheese.
Cheese.
Hey,
I know.
Cheese. That's my password. You know, I guess the point is made appropriately that, you know, nobody cares if you hack. Somebody gets into your Lifehacker site. It's just so you can comment. On the other hand, I do worry because a lot of people, and I include myself in this, use the same password for many, many sites.
Yeah, definitely. I just wrote an article about this for the Globe and Mail, just talking about how it's a good idea. I mean, you know this, to have at least two or three different passwords and kind of use one password for maybe content sites like this. Use another password for more important sites like your financial banking website. So you use just one password for them. So if any of the content sites get hacked, you know, people aren't able to use that password to get into your bank, for example. And I have about three passwords that I use on a regular basis. Another one, a separate one for my email as well. And, you know, I'm always going into like Microsoft has a place where you can check to see if your password is strong enough. But I would, you know, 123456, password, all of these different passwords that people are using. I mean, I'm not saying you're asking for it, but I think people need to be more careful, especially in 2010 and going into 2011 when we know people are hacking into sites all the time.
Of course, we've talked about on Security Now, we've talked about this, and I know Steve uses and recommends a free program called LastPass at LastPass.com.
Oh,
works on
this.
Everything.
Yeah.
But, I'm going to set my wife up with this because the problem is people want a password they can remember.
Of course.
So this is what I recommend. If you're not going to use LastPass, is to go to SuperGenPass, SuperGenPass.com. It's a password generator. And what it does is you copy a bookmark to your toolbar, and then it will... You have one master password. It still is the same point of I only have one password to remember, and it could even be Monkey. But then it hashes the website you're on with the password. So each website gets a unique, totally random-looking password that is based on a master password. So you can easily remember it and recreate it using the Super Gen Pass bookmark. But no hacker is going to be able to extrapolate from any site what your other passwords are. And they really are good, strong passwords, even if you use a not-so-strong password as your master. It's just used as a seed for the hash. So supergenpass.com would solve a lot of these problems and still give you something that you don't have to remember 800 different passwords.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the issue. And I think also this is just on the heels of everything that's been happening with WikiLeaks and hackers, you know, hacking into Amazon. And I know they're totally different reasons. However, I think hopefully it's made people just more aware that they should be a little safer when they are using different passwords across multiple websites.
Super Gen Pass, by the way, I should mention, somebody asks in the chat room, what happens if they go out of business? Doesn't matter. It's just JavaScript in that bookmarklet. You don't actually contact them. They don't see anything. It's just a little JavaScript program that this guy wrote that is in the password bookmark. And it's just doing a little hash on it. It's
gotcha.
You know, it's not super, 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 super secure. But it's more than secure enough for almost everything. I use it all the time, and I have a master password, which I remember, and I use it on almost every site. I don't even mind telling people that because it works very well. And LastPass, if you want even a better solution. Story two.
Okay, story number two. I really liked this post. It's from Twitter, and they put up a link to the most powerful tweets of 2010, including images. And at first, I thought they were going to be kind of fluffy, you know. But when you go through them, I think it makes us kind of remember some of the more important moments of this past year. They have some nice pictures attached to it. The first one being U.S. Air Force when they're saying, find a way to let Doctors Without Borders planes land in Haiti.
Now, by the way, these are not the most common subjects tweeted because I saw that list from Twitter as well. And the number one story, the number one tweet subject was the BP oil spill. These are the most powerful tweets, the tweets that really made an impact. And Ann Curry's tweet to the U.S. Air Force. Ann Curry, of course, the news person. I'm not sure who she works for, but saying to the U.S. Air Force, find a way to let Doctors Without Borders plans land in Haiti. And that's pretty cool. She convinced the Air Force to let a flight land, and it worked.
That's pretty cool. And I think, I mean, you made a really good point here, Leo, that sometimes the most popular things aren't the most important or the best. And it reminds me of the top videos on YouTube, which are just all over the map. And I think it was an article in Newsweek where they said, just because it's popular doesn't mean it's good. And I love the idea that Twitter has kind of gone through all of the tweets. And most of these are memorable. You know, number two, we have the White House welcoming the president of Russia to Twitter. And I remember that where the Kremlin Russia says, hello, everyone, I'm on Twitter and this is my first tweet. So those are definitely moments on Twitter, and the list kind of goes on from there.
There was a great talk at Le Web from somebody who works in I think he was the World Economic Forum, and he talked about how many of the leaders of the G20 tweet. You know who's very active on Twitter, and it is clearly him, is Hugo Chavez of Venezuela. It's a big Twitter.
Wow.
But he did a little study on not only who's tweeting, who's really tweeting, who's not really tweeting, but who follows whom, which leaders follow other leaders.
That's interesting.
And the point's made on this Twitter post that you don't need the red phone anymore. You can DM each other. You could DM each other.
True.
Isn't that hysterical?
That's so funny. Yeah. I mean, you can just imagine some of these world leaders doing that.
Medvedev, we've got a problem here.
And
quick.
You look at some of the different leaders, and some of them kind of get Twitter, because I've kind of looked at this as well, and some of them really don't. I mean, the Prime Minister of Canada, Stephen Harper, for example, he uses Twitter. And I mean, I know it's not actually him, but no one ever interacts with anyone on Twitter. You know, it's all just using it as a broadcast platform.
Right.
Never retweeting, never responding or anything. And it's interesting to see the leaders who do a good job.
Well, that was also a recent story showing that more than half the people who use Twitter never read anybody else's tweets. They're just meh, and not listen. They're talking, but not listening.
Not listening.
And that's not a surprise to me. You know, one of this guy who gave this speech, what a great speech. I'll see if I can find his name before the end of the show. He said the tweet that was most impactful to him was one from the president, Barack Obama's Twitter feed, which normally he doesn't do. But in this case, I think he did when he received the Nobel Peace Prize, a one word tweet, humbled. And I think that was probably him. And it is that's pretty powerful that the leader of the free world receives the Nobel Peace Prize, probably the most prestigious award in the world. And where does he react first to it? With a one word tweet. Pretty amazing, you know, how far this has come.
Oh, it is amazing. I just have to read one more. This is from the CEO, Jonathan Schwartz, before he left Sun Microsystems. This tweet is awesome. Today's my last day at Sun. I'll miss it. Seems only fitting to end on a haiku. Financial crisis, stalled too many customers, CEO no more.
Wow.
So creative. I know. And like, I looked at these and I thought, you know, this is nice because I've been, you know, the end of the year, Leo, you've been doing this too. You get all these emails about the top 10 lists, and many of them are meaningless, let's face it. Like, I'm almost embarrassed of the top search terms on Google. You know, is this really what we're searching for?
Lady
but when
Gaga.
I saw this, I saw this, I thought, you know, hopefully this is more our world. I want to believe, Leo.
Yeah. Facebook also talked a little bit about its top stories of the year. We'll get to that in just a second. Amber MacArthur is here. Carson Conant's going to join us in just a little bit to talk about Mediafly and how Mediafly is putting this show and many others, by the way, it's not just our podcast, but making many podcasts much easier to watch and listen to on a variety of devices. Before we do that, though, I'd like to talk about another favorite of yours, Amber, Squarespace.com.
Love them.
We love Squarespace. We're really glad that we can do ads for Squarespace because we all use Squarespace. We use it for our blog, inside.twit.tv. I know Amber, your partner Chris, uses it for his photo blog. He's a very talented photographer. Squarespace is the best way to make a professional-looking website. You know, and by the way, I apologize, Amber, because one of Amber's businesses is helping people make great-looking websites.
Oh, no, that's okay. We always recommend Squarespace.
You don't really need, pro designer to do it. Go to squarespace.com and take a look at some of their amazing professionally designed templates. I mean, they just look fantastic. And the thing is, you're not stuck with the template. That's just the starting point. You take the template and you can completely customize it using Ajax drag and drop. You don't have to know any special code or CSS. You just design it with your eyeball. But if you do know CSS, of course, or JavaScript, it's completely developer-friendly as well. And that's, I think, one of the reasons people who do website design for a living often do recommend Squarespace, because you can start on your own, but you can also make it anything you want with the help of pros. And things like social integration, that's just superior to anybody. I mean, not just Twitter and Facebook, but Flickr and Quick and Pandora and on and on and on. Seamless blog importing too. So if you've got an existing site on movable type WordPress, Typepad, or the Blogger API, you can import and export your content. You're never trapped there. Photo galleries, forms, statistics too that are second to none. You really know what's going on. And now Squarespace is not just software. It's hosting too. So, and some of the best hosting out there. Their very advanced virtual server technology means you'll never go down for lack of bandwidth. They can turn on bandwidth on a dime automatically. So I've never seen a Squarespace site go down.
Me neither.
Starts at $12 a month and up from there, depending on the features you want. But no matter what, if you use the offer code Knight when you sign up, you'll save 10% for life. Now, I recommend you try it first. And you can try it so easily, so simply for free. Just go to squarespace.com/Knight, click the green try it free button, fill in a couple of form fields, you know, your site name, your password, your email address, and a CAPTCHA, and boom, you've got a site. It's good for 2 weeks. You can import all your data. You can play with it to your heart's desire, get it looking the way you want to, and then you decide if it's something you'd like to keep. Squarespace.com. If you do decide to keep it, make sure you use the offer code Knight for 10% off for the life of your site. Squarespace, the secret behind exceptional websites.
And Leo, I hate building websites. I have to say, I think all of us do. It's the most frustrating experience in the world.
It's terrible.
I mean, I love doing social media consulting, but the reality is when you start building sites, I mean, it's a time sucker. It always takes more effort than you think it will. So we often recommend Squarespace, and it's a very user-friendly interface. And so I'm happy to see people up there.
Yeah, no kidding. So everybody's doing it. You mentioned Google Zeitgeist, Yahoo did it, Bing did it. The top, trends of 2010. It's a big subject. Facebook has also done something. The top status trends of the year.
Yeah, so these are the top status trends. Now, the first one, Leo, I'm going to admit that I really didn't know what this meant. HMU, hit me up. That was number one.
Oh, dear.
Did
Is
you
that a
that?
Bad word? No, hit Ooh, me up just means give me a call.
Call
hit me up.
Yeah,
give me a call.
Get in touch with me.
Yeah.
But I was very surprised, and I've read a lot about this particular trend that came out, and a lot of people are saying the same thing. So it must be, I think, a younger generation on Facebook who uses this all the time. So it's just not really in my
HMU,
world.
HMU, exactly. You're too old.
A few other things, though. World Cup, movies, iPad, and iPhone 4.
Yeah.
Not a big surprise. Haiti, and of course, Justin Bieber.
Bieber fever.
He's got to make it to the list.
Yeah.
Games on Facebook, miners, airplanes, and 2011. So no big surprises here, but HMU, that's the only one that took me for a bit because I just didn't know what it meant right away.
Hit me up. It says the year's biggest surprise. In early 2009, the acronym HMU was virtually unheard of. Only a few posts a day contain. This shows you the viral nature of this stuff. A year ago, only a few posts a day. By 2010, 20 posts a day. Then 1,600 posts a day. Then, get this, by the end of the summer this year, 80,000. 80,000 HMUs a day.
I'm going to start using that all the time.
HMU.
HMU.
Hey, HMU.
Get with the program, people.
Yeah. It's this. It's equivalent of doing the thing with the finger and the thumb, right?
Of course. HMU. No, I know. HMU. I should have known.
I didn't know.
Now, a few more links. The Social Network is nominated for 6 Golden Globes. That just happened today. I just wanted to mention it because we've had Dana Brunetti on the show. And I know we've both seen the movie, so I think that will probably do pretty well.
Probably an Oscar in its future, I would guess.
I would say so. Also, Google launches YouTube Trends for the latest viral videos. I just stumbled across this today. And it's kind of funny because they launched this new, I don't know if you call it a microsite, on YouTube site where they're following along with the most popular videos, but giving a little bit of backstory and just providing more context around the videos themselves. But they launched this with a video from the Gregory Brothers.
I know.
And we used, although I think the video is kind of awful. I don't know if you watched it.
No.
But it's one, you know, I think this sometimes is what happens when a company goes and hires really creative people to do something and, you know, they just don't maybe have the freedom that they have when they do something on their own. And so I didn't even want us to play it because it was, it just fell flat for me.
We were actually at Google yesterday meeting with product directors talking about different products. And Anna, who's one of the product directors at Google, was talking about this site that they're doing, the YouTube Trends site. It's kind of neat. She also, and we're going to get somebody on. I actually said, let's get them on for Net at Night. You know, that day in the life thing that they did is going to be at Sundance.
Yeah.
And we're going to get, I think we can get the director who did all the editing on. So I, you know, I'm trying to get some good people here for us. And who else? I asked her about Vivo.
I love Vivo so much.
Now, was it just me, or did you think that YouTube and Vivo were like the same? Like, it's not. You know, I thought YouTube was Vivo. It's the record labels use YouTube on their Vivo site.
Oh, I didn't know. So Google doesn't own Vivo.
No.
I thought they did.
Yeah, I said that to her. She said, no. I said, well, how common is it that companies would wrap entire sites around your, you know, you provide the video and we'll do everything else?
Yeah.
She said, that's actually very common. Funny or Die does that. The Onion does that. They're all using YouTube. So Vivo, which I really thought was like a YouTube brand, isn't it? It's Universal Records brand. They put their artists on it, including, of course, quite most famously Lady Gaga. And it uses YouTube video. It's using the YouTube player within the Vivo site, but it is not a Google site, which I thought was very interesting.
That's interesting. See, it's so well done that I just expected it was Google. I would never imagine one of the labels coming out with that.
I know.
I hate to say that. But just the other day, my friend Marcella, who I think you know, she always watches music videos. She's really into music, and she was going on to YouTube, and I said, you haven't heard of Vivo? And this surprises me because a lot of people haven't heard of it, but it's an amazing place to go to watch the most recent videos.
Right.
I still don't think it's going to reach that mainstream point yet, but maybe if Google had it would.
So YouTube Trends is actually a blog spot, youtube-trends.blogspot.com, and you can see what the hot YouTube, this isn't just for 2010, this will be a continuing thing,
it's going to continue.
Right?
So, you know, when I saw this, though, because I think of our friend Andrew Barron, who runs Rocket Boom and he does Know Your Meme, I thought a lot about, and Magma as well.
Right.
I was thinking about this because Magma focuses on, you know, the top videos, the most popular videos, and then Know Your Meme provides that context around some of those videos. And I sort of wondered, it seems like Google sort of borrowed some of those ideas. But it'll be interesting to see how this evolves. But a pretty neat site, and I think it's about time because I think people obviously are hooked. There was a stat here that I had 35 hours of video.
I shouldn't be watching these YouTube videos, but I can't help it.
I know. 35 hours of video is uploaded to YouTube every single minute.
Yes. It was. Remember, it was 24 just a couple of months ago. It's growing like Topsy.
And Leo, if you go onto YouTube right now, you can find this great video where you and I are talking about the beginning of YouTube.
Isn't that funny? I know. And now it's like, same thing with Twitter, right? I remember when Twitter was just this little place that, you know, you and I and a few close friends went to. Now everybody uses it.
I know. It's so funny.
Yeah.
We're ahead of our time, I suppose.
We're going to get a tip of the week here in just a bit and then get our guest Carson Conant on the air. Now, LinkedIn, and then I'll mention one more spot, but LinkedIn has a list. I'll call Carson while you talk about
okay,
this.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Phrases you should not use in your resume.
Yeah, LinkedIn came out with a report where they talked about the most popular things that people put in their online profiles or resumes. And then I found this on, I think it was Lifehacker, where they kind of took that list and said things that you should avoid saying in your resume because they're overused.
All right, let's hear it.
Extensive experience is number one. Do not use that. Innovative, do not use that. Motivated, results oriented, dynamic, proven track record, team player, fast paced, problem solver, and entrepreneurial.
That sounds like my resume right there.
I know. And I think when we were all taught to write resumes, we kind of put a lot of these key
words
in there. Yeah, but the reality is they've become so overused that they're meaningless right now. So you may want to remove them from your resume if you're looking for a job, because I'm sure you've looked at lots of resumes. And I know when I see things like this, I think, you know, I'm a real team player. Like it doesn't mean a whole lot.
That's the problem, is they become meaningless, essentially.
They're really meaningless. And
words,
that's, I think, the world that we live in right now, is that they've gotten to that point. So maybe find some new creative words, you know, maybe HMU, something like that.
Hit me up, baby.
Hit me up. I need a job. That'll work.
I remember the first time I got an HMU from Carson Conant. Carson said, hey, we're doing this thing called MediaFly. And I said, oh, yeah, well, that's nice. Keep up the good work. We'd love let us know how it works out. And then I saw that they had done a deal to be on Roku. And I said, hey, Carson, hit me up, baby. Hit me up. Carson Conant's on the line right now. And I'm not getting video from you, Carson. I'm not sure why. Maybe because he's not on the line. Maybe it's just my imagination that he's on the line.
Hello, Carson. He didn't get your HMU.
He didn't hit me up. Let me try
it. No.
There we go. Now we're doing it.
Okay, so now he's there.
Yeah, but I don't hear him. Carson, can you?
Hello, Carson.
It's a nice picture. I don't hear a thing you're saying. Am I doing something wrong? No, I don't think so. He's talking. Carson, look at this. There it is. It's MediaFly headquarters. So I'm just looking at my Android. And not only do I have Twit TV by MediaFly, which is installed, but there's a separate MediaFly application. There's also a lot of other, there's MediaFly Music, MediaFly Sports. So which CNET Audio by MediaFly, which MediaFly should I get?
All of them. Get the paid ones.
Oh, so some of them are paid, huh?
Yeah. Actually, it was interesting. I was looking over, I was trying to come up with some interesting stats that we've seen. And I was looking at the downloads of your, you know, so exact same content, your app, the Twit app from MediaFly on iPhone and the Twit app on Android.
Yeah.
And there's almost 10x usage, 10x higher usage on Android than there is on iPhone.
What?
Which I thought was
that kind of shocks me. It's exactly the opposite of what I would have thought.
Me too.
Here's the Twit. So you see twit.tv by MediaFly. So if you hit that, I love it because you branded it and everything, but I want to make sure people understand when they see that. And you can, this is now, I should also make the important distinction. This is the podcasts. We're slowly working out so that you can do live streaming on all of these too, right?
Yeah. So, you know, so the live streaming on Android is not quite where it is on iPhone,
right?
But on iPhone, you can do live stream
on the, on the MediaFly Twit application.
Yeah. Yeah.
And on the iPad.
On the Roku.
Now, right now, the provider for that, I think, is Ustream, but we're working on doing that ourselves, I think, so we get a higher quality signal out to you. But that's eventually, we'd like it that you could just launch the application and you could watch, you know, what's going on live, or if that's too boring for you, you can, as you can see here, I can go back all through the old Netit Nights and say, oh, I want to see the Instagram edition. And it plays back, and it plays back so nicely, and it's just a great app. Now, you're putting these on TVs as well, right?
Yeah. And that's actually one of the places I think is so challenging. I mean, I think, you know, your app, let's say on Yahoo, took probably 6 months, I want to say, to get through the review process and live into the field.
That's the Yahoo Widgets version of it.
Yeah. You know, once you get through, now you're on, I don't know, some 10 million connected TVs.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Yeah. Popcorn Hour, too. Same thing, right?
Popcorn Hour, Boxy, what else? Actually, Western Digital.
Are we on that as well?
Yeah. So it's inside the MediaFly. They don't have the same app store model that like Roku does. So we actually have kind of an app store built into MediaFly where you can go in and add the the Twit, essentially add the Twit app inside of MediaFly.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So, and what is this? Now, this is live streaming. So here it is on the iPhone 4, and this is through MediaFly. So this is Ken just ran. Oh, there you are. Look, Carson, you're on the iPhone.
Yeah, I had you guys up here on my Roku behind me, but I think it was killing my bandwidth. So
that's probably not the good idea to do both of this. But you know, this is cool. So this is live streaming inside the MediaFly app. Oh, and now we're going to stream MediaFly within the MediaFly live.
This is so meta.
Oh, it's so confusing now. I don't know what's going on. That's very
I'm not quite
actually.
Sure.
This
not
is
quite
looking
sure
good.
Exactly what's going on
there. This is looking really good. So this is the Ustream version. Pardon me. This is we're getting three different feeds.
There's two. There's a MediaFly option and a Ustream option. I think.
Got it. So cool. Because is this the MediaFly one?
Yeah.
This looks really good. So we're sending you a high quality version. That really looks nice.
And now you're doing it again.
That's very confusing.
We didn't make anybody dizzy.
Whoa, it's going crazy.
Oh, anyway. No. Hey, Carson, I have a question for you because I do a video show called Command N, and there's a few episodes in MediaFly. I don't know how they got in there exactly, but for someone who's out there who wants to get listed and work with you guys, what's the process for that?
Sure. So MediaFly is actually, you know, just kind of, you know, there's no cost to get in there. It's really like cloud-based iTunes, really. So at the bottom of the site, there's a little link saying add your podcast. And from that point on, it's just like iTunes. People can go there and they can add their podcasts. The difference is that you can then sync it to all your different devices. So the same channels you have on your Roku, you've got on your Android and your iPhone and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
What's your business model in this, Carson? Because are you going to how do you pay for this?
you're afraid I'm going to call you, right?
Yeah.
No. So it's actually funny. The same platform that you guys use, we license out to companies.
Remax, for instance, uses MediaFly.
Remax,
right?
And we've got a bunch of other companies that are doing things like sales enablement, right? So if you've got a global sales force and you want to train them, you know, we have the ability to do that across all these different devices.
So when I see the Remax University by MediaFly on my Android phone, that's you. Look at Tom Merritt has his own. What the hell?
Yeah. How do you like that, right?
Tom Merritt's got his own MediaFly channel.
I know. I don't think it has the latest video shows. We need to get that more updated.
East Meets West Forecast and Sword and Laser.
We actually have a way that we've started to allow, because the platform's so robust now, we've started to allow kind of smaller podcasters to do their own apps. We've just started doing it called Broadcast Basic. So I'm not sure if that fits, but you know, I think podcasting was great, but I think what we look at is how do you wrap that in an app that has, you know, your Twitter feed and all the other stuff that is related to your show, right? So we've built the capability to do that really easily across all these different platforms.
Now Samsung is doing their own thing, right? They don't use Popcorn Hour or Yahoo widgets.
Yeah, we love it to see everybody keep fragmenting.
Because it means more chances for you, right?
Right. No, yeah. So Samsung, you know, they have part of their ecosystem is on the Yahoo platform.
Oh, okay.
And then they've kind of got their own platform that they're also using. But, you know, you're like your Twit app that we power was featured on Samsung devices a couple weeks ago as the number one app, right? So they still do use the Yahoo platform, just not exclusively.
So this is, I mean, it's for somebody like us, it really isn't, you know, Revision 3 goes out and they talk to all the people individually. They got on the Roku box by themselves, but we don't have the ability to do that. And so by going to MediaFly, one deal with you guys, we don't pay you for this, and you got us everywhere. So I owe you a huge debt of gratitude, Carson.
Well, it's good. You're one of our best marketing. everybody knows Twit.
Well, that's really nice. I really appreciate it. At some point, are you planning to put advertising in this? Or
yeah, actually, so we've actually been talking to a lot of people. We have a big ad initiative that'll be launching in the first quarter of the year. That'll be the first time that we're really bringing advertisers in and matching them up with our properties. So, we're still hoping that there's an interesting ad play with the, with all the consumer media. It's just, it's funny, you know, I talked to a consumer media company a week, and it's kind of like, that scene in, you know, in Footloose, where you got all the guys on one side and all the girls on the other side, and nobody's dancing. That's kind of what we think of this this space. You got all the advertisers and all the media companies, and it's nobody's really diving into, I think, this kind of connected media space yet, except for you. Well, like you guys. I mean, you're people who are, you're not afraid of cannibalizing your old business, right? Because this,
we don't have any old business to cannibalize.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously, I mean, this is, I mean, video is just, think about 2 years ago, you didn't have the iPhone. I mean, now, you know, you just, you know, you're out and about, you're going to be watching Twit, you know,
right.
If you can't, I mean, literally the minute that the Twit live feed hiccups, we start getting emails.
Yay. I like
that.
And it's not you, by the way. I really want to underscore this. Don't send emails to Mediafly because it's not their fault.
That's okay. We forward them on to Ken.
let Ken handle it. But it's just fantastic. I'm just looking at the list now of devices you're on. You even support things like WebOS.
There's a Twit app on WebOS.
It's just a Chumby. It's the Creative Zen, the Sansa, the Zune. So that's really great. You must have, like, somewhere else in that basement, 100 developers working on this stuff.
we've got a lot.
That's great.
But we do a lot of we focus on the platform here, and then we got a lot of offshore development that actually builds the apps, and actually a lot of the companies write the apps themselves.
Right. Except
so, because they want, well, I mean, like,
Twit
like
is the
device
exception.
Companies, right? So like Logitech or Onkyo, right? They wrote the app.
Oh, interesting, because they wanted you on their platform. That's a great position to be in now, where people say, oh, we, you know, look at all the content we get from Mediafly. We should support Mediafly. How about Google TV? Any chance of getting it on Google TV?
Oh yeah, sure. So Google TV, there's really two things, right? I mean, you've got Flash. So, you could go to your website and just watch Twit.
I have done that. Live.twit.tv on Google TV works great.
Right. And then you've got, you know, as they open up the Android marketplace, we actually have a tablet and a TV version of the app that's ready whenever they are.
Uh-huh. So it's really up to them to say, okay, we'll flip the switch.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, so that's what, we... So what do you think about? What's your read on Google TV compared to?
I don't like it. I'm a Roku fan, I think the potential is there. I mean, it's funny. We were talking on MacBreak Weekly about the fact that Time Magazine, talking about the top gadgets of 2010, made the Logitech review like number 4, and I thought, well, that's nuts. But from a forward, you know, because right now at $299, the limited functionality it has because all the networks are blocking it, and Hulu's blocking it, but the potential is great there because it's Android. And so, for instance, I imagine it'd be fairly simple for them to say, yeah, we'll just turn on Mediafly because you've got an Android app and there we are. And I hope that they will do that. I hope that they'll open up in the same way that I hoped Apple would open up its Apple TV to iOS, because same thing would happen, right? We would then be on Apple TV via Mediafly.
Right, which they have to, right? I think the next, I mean, they've got to release an update to that Apple TV at some point soon, I would imagine.
So both of these, I think, are loaded with potential. But at this point, Roku is the one that's delivering.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's fascinating. I mean, so Roku is by far the leader. But, strong pursuit is Western Digital, which think is...
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We've been lately... I poo-pooed it, the WD Live thing. And now it's gotten so good that I'm starting to pay attention to it again.
Yeah. If they add that the kind of app marketplace ability, then I think it's going to be a really, I think it's going to be a second strong player in the market, which I think can only help everybody. I don't think this is not a place where, you know, you're having to pick one or the other. I mean, you know, especially with Roku at $59. I mean, it's almost a stocking stuffer at this point.
Yeah.
Hey, Carson, I'm curious, are most content producers in the same situation as Twit, where, Android tends to be the leader as far as people watching content, or is that sort of an exception?
Yeah, that surprises me. Boy, was I shocked to hear that.
Yeah, you know, actually, I was just pulling up, I don't know if that's typical. What's interesting about us is that we have a whole bunch of different properties, so we can look at different apps, and that trend is pretty consistent across all of our properties. So whether it's Mediafly, which is a lot of audio content, Twit, which is a lot of video content, the consumption of the media on the Android side is significantly higher than on the iPhone side.
Wow.
But I just read a stat that 42% of all iPhone, or of all data is iPhone versus, and 32% is Android. So I don't know if we're seeing something that's a little different than
it's interesting.
What people are seeing. But
is Moderation Town on Mediafly, Amber?
Not yet, Leo. I'm glad you brought that up. My acting debut.
Amber's in a new fiction series.
Yes, really? A new web series. It's called Moderation Town. They just released their first episode this week.
I know.
And I'm in episode 4, which is coming out at the end of the month. But I think it's going to be a pretty big show. And it was super fun to be involved with it. Although I'm driving people crazy because I'm like, have you seen my acting debut? It was one of the most fun things I've ever done. It was really a good time.
But it underscores this trend, which is that people are now bypassing the traditional routes to create content. And it's really important that we have a platform that makes it possible to distribute this content easily. And that's where Mediafly really, I think, is well positioned to sit there. You're a middleman, but not a traditional kind of a middleman that's taken, you know, parts of our profit away from us. You're a middleman that's a facilitator. So I think that's really important.
Yeah, we're the middleman that, you know, that people always hate that term, right?
Right.
who needs that guy, right? But yeah, I mean, we look at ourselves as just kind of how do you make sense out of all the fragmentation?
Right. Now, I got to ask you the question everybody wants to know. Windows Phone 7.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we love the platform. We're just waiting to kind of see the uptake a little bit there. And, I mean, obviously, we're, I believe it's a very, very strong platform. I personally like the user experience better than Android. But I know I'm maybe in the minority here at the office.
Yeah.
Amber, I wanted to ask you on your show. It's web-based. Is it also app-based as well?
No, I mean, you can play it on different smartphones, but we have no app or anything. So that's why I'm kind of curious because, we've been doing the show for, I guess, 5 years, maybe a little bit longer. And I would love to see it get out on more platforms. Mm. So it might be a good fit to kind of get updated and get into Mediafly and use you guys.
I think if Tom Merritt can have a channel, Amber can have a channel.
Yeah, I think.
I'm going to take Tom down.
Hey, speaking of Tom, we got to get out of here because TNT is coming up next. Hey, Carson, great to talk to you.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. This was a fun first debut on the Twitch show.
We should have had you on long before this because, to be honest, without Mediafly, you know, I think we'd have half the audience we have. And I don't know if you know this, but we were of the top 100 new podcasts or podcasts of the year 2010 on the iTunes chart. We were 13 of the top 100.
Wow.
Far and away beyond any network out there.
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
I know that's not Mediafly, but I have to say I think that the exposure we've gotten through Mediafly just amplifies that. And so thank you very much for helping us succeed.
Of course.
Really appreciate it. Thank you, Carson.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having
me. Do you want to turn around and turn on that Roku box so we can kill your bandwidth?
Here we go. You ready? Let's see.
If you haven't yet gone to the channel store on your Roku, go to the channel store. We're one of the top channels in there. You can add it, and then you can watch Twit live. Oh, there it is.
So there's the live stream. This is my own version of your Skypeosaurus there.
On your big screen, and it looks great.
Yeah.
It's spectacular.
Actually, I was going to turn my – it looks like a basement, but we're actually not in a basement, though.
Oh, that's all right. Hey, thank you, Carson.
All right. Thanks, guys.
It's great to talk to you. Carson Conant, Mediafly.com. If you're looking at the business platform – there's a link there to the business platform if you'd like to use them to enable your business to do this kind of thing, as Remax and others have done. Really, really great stuff. Hey, before we go on, Amber, to our final video of the week, which is a wild one, I want to talk a little bit about our friends at Ford. We have so many friends who've made this possible, what we're doing here at Twit, and Ford has been really one of our great supporters. And, you know, I'm glad because I love my Mustang and I love my Ford and I especially love my Ford Sync. I don't know if you have tried a Ford lately. Get in the Ford Lincoln or Mercury vehicle. Just go down to your dealer and say, I'd like to test drive the Sync. And you will be impressed. It is easily the best platform for, you know, all cars are starting to do this. It used to be for a long time, you know, you'd have the radio and you'd have 5 buttons and that would be it. But we all have iPhones and iPods and Android phones and lots of stuff that we bring into the car with lots of content on it. Wouldn't it be nice if you could connect this to the car? Well, you can, and you can do it safely with Sync. Keeps your hands on the wheel, your eyes on the road, but you tell your phone what you want. I was doing it just today. I'm listening to Keith Richards' new book, My Life. I said, I pressed the button because I wanted to hear it. I got in the car, pressed the button. I said, it goes, boom. I say, audio. Boom. Sync. Boom. Play Keith Richards. Boom. I'm listening to Keith. Actually, it's Johnny Depp reading Keith. And then I said, oh, I want to hear some Rolling Stones. So I pressed the button again. I said, play the Rolling Stones. Boom. It's playing the Rolling Stones. Play more like that. It's playing similar music. You set the temperature 74 degrees. It does that. I could say, take me home. And it will navigate me by voice to home. In fact, if there's trouble along the route, traffic problems, it'll reroute me automatically. And should the worst happen, something bad, my airbags go off because I got in an accident, it automatically calls 911 and sends him a message and my GPS coordinates. Ford Sync. It's safety. It's convenience. It's just the best darn thing, and I want you to try it. Go to your local Lincoln, Ford, Mercury dealer and give it a test drive. And I'd like to mention, speaking of test drives, the Ford Focus Global Test Drive. Would you like to go to Madrid? Oh, I got to get the picture up here. Hold on a second. I want to show you this. If you go to twitfordfocus.com, it'll take you to a Facebook page that lets you create a video. You have now till the end of the year, till December 31st, to create a two-minute or less video. You could earn $10,000 for the charity of your choice and win a trip to Madrid to be one of the first to drive the new Ford Focus. Instructions are there. Make the video, share the video, get discovered, maybe even be skying your way to Madrid. What a great prize that is. Plus $10,000 going to the charity of your choice. Ford's going to donate a total of $500,000 in all. TwitFordFocus.com and head over to your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury dealer and test drive the Ford Sync today. We thank Ford for their support of Net at Night and all of our shows. I don't know how I got there. I'm having problems with my buttons on Twit. All right, Amber, tell us the video of the week. Sing us out, as it were. Oh, what happened to Amber? Oh, there she is. There she is.
She's got her eyes on what's happening on YouTube. Now, this is interesting. This is the Metrodome roof collapse. And I think this is in Minnesota, if I'm correct, where there was an NFL game that was scheduled. However, because of all the snow, the actual dome collapsed. And Fox News had a camera inside and recorded the collapse. So for people who are listening in, although you won't be able to see the picture, you can kind of hear the snow collapsing. And, you know, for 30 seconds, you can just, you know, feel this this sort of huge moment that's happening within the dome. So it's pretty spectacular, and I think it now has more than 1 million views on YouTube.
Wow. I guess they had a camera in there because there was a Vikings game.
Yeah, there was a Vikings game, and so they had a camera in there, and I'm sure they're pretty happy because obviously this is getting tons of attention.
Yeah, I'm looking for the video right now. Oh, here it is. Here it is. All right, here we go.
Snow leaking in the roof, and the roof collapsed.
Oh, you can see it leaking in. Look at that.
Yeah. You can hear it.
Oh, my goodness. Holy cow. Oh, oh boy. Oh, baby. You don't want to be in there.
No.
And then all the snow comes pouring through. Wow. Sometimes, you know, YouTube is great for music. It's great for entertainment. But sometimes it's great for news. I mean,
oh, yeah.
This is spectacular. Wow.
No question the game cannot be played there.
No kidding.
I can't believe he has a straight face when he's saying that. No question, you know.
That is very dramatic video from Fox. Amber MacArthur, congratulations on the launch of Moderation Town. We'll look for you in episode 4.
Yes, in a few more weeks I'll be tweeting about it, and I'm sure I'll talk about it on
And what do? Do you scream in horror? You play a social media expert, right?
Yeah, the trailer's online right now. So if you check out Moderation Town and go to their website, you can see the trailer. I have the very last clip in the trailer. So I try to set these people straight and show them that the internet's a friendly place, and they don't really believe me.
See, that's right there in your book, Power Friending. You explain the whole thing.
And I make fun of myself, Leo, in the show.
Do you really?
Everybody has to start power friending. You know, I'm like a mini version of Tony Robbins in Shallow Hal.
I love it. Go to moderationtown.com if you'd like to watch that show. CommandN.tv is Amber's. How long now? You said you were doing this for 5 years? You've been doing Command End?
A few years, yeah. Wow. And I mean, it's funny to watch the original videos because the quality is just so rotten. And then,
it looks good now, though.
Better and better, yeah.
Oh, it really looks good now. And, of course, you can catch her on Real Live TV on CP24 with Web Nation. And anywhere else? Have I let AmberMac.com on Twitter?
Yeah, AmberMac on Twitter. So that's pretty much it.
All right. I'm going to watch a little bit of this trailer. Thank you, Amber.
Hey, thank you.
We'll see you next time on Net at Night.
This is Trolling. I hope your kittens die of feline AIDS.
We need to throw acid on trolls. That's one of the only ways to damage them.
Your mother has been uploading this to online dating sites.
Last night's chat was hot for real.
Look at your supple lady hands. Can they handle this?
Some stupid orc named Haterade hacked my goddamn face space.
I was able to tweak the algorithm to eliminate any exposed penis. It's amazing. Let me show you. Penis gone.
Yeah, but so is his bald head.
Yes, but
once you've seen a chocolate fountain, you can't unsee it. Now I'm watching this chunky river of shit every day, Alex.
You are a fascist, Bible-beating Nazi.
And you're a soulless communist hippie.
You have a really messed up view of social media, and I'm going to fix that.
Oh, there she is. Thank you, Amber.